We are in what feels like, you know, the end right now, but of course I know it's not.
Yes, do not let these calm conditions fool you. We are anticipating another wind event. Santa Ana winds expected to make another return sometime midday, pushing all the way through at least tomorrow morning. But they are not expected to be as strong, but strong enough to continue to create red flag conditions.
Status of things right now in Southern California, but it's been a pretty rough night. Welcome, everybody. The Thursday, January 9th edition of the radio program, A Record of the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. I don't know if you have seen this footage or not. You guys see this? I remember when I took a motorcycle ride down the Southern California Pacific Coast Highway, one of the most picturesque areas was heading down the PCH into Malibu. And you've got all these charming cottages, homes, and then the ocean front in front of them. And, you know, so many movies have been shot there and everything else. But somebody recorded 45 seconds. That's all it took, 45 seconds of footage of when you're heading down the Pacific Coast Highway of the beachfront homes and establishments, restaurants, and the like, between the Pacific Coast Highway and the ocean. And they're all smoldering. I mean, it looks like the Donbass region of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Just scorched structures, completely destroyed.
Just absolutely nuts. And of course, you know it's going to get political, right? You know it's going to get political. And basically, here is how it's lining up. The liberals are saying, climate change, climate change, climate change. This is, look at what happened to climate change. This is all because of climate change. So therefore, government needs even more responsibility, more regulatory authority, more money, of course, to combat climate change. That's one side. Then we got the other side. The other side is saying, you were warned about this. Donald Trump warned about this in October. Donald Trump said California is going to have a disaster if they don't start taking water storage, reservoirs, and water storage more seriously. And of course, one of the stark, horrifying realities when these fires were burning in Pacific Palisades 48 hours ago was, hey, how come when I turn on the fire hydrant, there's no water? So there's the water shortage. It's still unclear how this fire started, but get this, in LA County alone, 24 wildfires a day are put out that were set in homeless encampments.
Okay.
24 fires a day.
And I've seen some other indications that yesterday people were concerned that there were fires just kind of being either intentionally set or recklessly set as they were in the middle of these horrible fire conditions and wind conditions yesterday. And people are wondering about, is that contributing to this problem?
So we don't yet know who or what was responsible for the four fires that are now raging. So we have water mismanagement. We have tolerance of homeless vagrancy. In L.A. County is notorious. It's like Seattle at its worst, and San Francisco and Portland. Those four areas have a outsized homeless problem and everything you associate with homelessness, street homelessness, because of their policies. And then you have the fact that wildfires are far more damaging and omnipresent in public forests than in private run forests because they don't practice better stewardship. They don't get rid of a lot of the underbrush that acts as kindling. And then you simply have, so that's the third thing, and then you have inept public officials. A fire chief who said her chief priority when last year, I believe, or last year or 2023, said her chief priority was diversity, DEI. In the fire department. You would think the fire chief would say, my first responsibility is putting out fires. But again, this is something we see. This is what we call blue state, blue city governance. Just very different priorities. You've got a mayor, Karen Bass, veteran left-wing member of Congress, who has been the mayor of L.A. for, I think she was elected 2 years ago, or may have just been last year. She defeated a billionaire named Rick Caruso, who said, you know, L.A.'s out of control. It's time to reclaim control over Los Angeles. Anyway, yesterday, Karen Bass, returning from a political junket to the African nation of Ghana, was managed to find herself pigeonholed by a reporter from Sky News. He spotted the mayor at the airport when she was getting ready to leave one area for another, but she wasn't ready to go yet. And so he cornered her and began peppering her with questions. This is from Fox LA TV News, running this audio here.
LA Mayor Karen Bass, under scrutiny this morning, earlier this year, she approved a budget cutting $17.5 million from the fire department, while she also increased police funding by $126 million. Critics are questioning now her leadership, especially since she was in Ghana for a presidential event when these fires broke out. Sky News caught up with the mayor yesterday.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? And do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor?
She stares ahead, won't answer.
Have you nothing to say today? Yeah. Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today?
She won't say anything.
Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position?
All this time that he's asking these very relevant, very fair, but tough questions, she's just staring straight ahead. Like he's not there.
Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Bass returned yesterday after that video went viral, after she ignored to answer questions from Sky News. Last night, Mayor Bass was back in Los Angeles and held a news conference.
I was on a military flight, as I mentioned, which allowed me to be in constant communication. I was on the phone, on the plane, almost every hour of the flight. So although I was not physically here, I was in contact with many of the individuals that are standing here throughout the entire time when my flight landed. Immediately went to the fire zone and saw what happened in Pacific Palisades.
Okay, here is my prediction. I think that this is the beginning of the end of Karen Bass. She barely got elected. And keep in mind, LA County is resoundingly Democrat. The area that's burning, by the way, is also resoundingly Democrat. It's like between 70 and 80% voted for Kamala Harris. So these are, you know, part of the price that Donald Trump paid for attracting millions and millions of working class votes is that he's lost the support of politically liberal, wealthy areas. And we see that, you know, here. Trump got pancaked, got wiped out in Redmond and Medina and Yarrow Point, Clyde Hill, Mercer Island, Bellevue. I mean, it wasn't even close. Same thing down in this part of the moneyed parts of Southern California, Malibu, Pacific Palisades, Beverly Hills, Westwood, etc. So they elected a progressive mayor, and these are the policies that that basically they voted for, which is tolerance of intolerable behavior from street vagrants, which often results in fires. Again, if you're just joining us, it's come to the surface that 24 fires a day, 24 wildfires a day are put out by the fire department that are started in homeless encampments in just LA County. Happens more often than you think. We don't know yet if one or all four of these fires began that same way. But again, you're tempting fate when you when you don't have a strong reservoir system. You're allowing literally hundreds of billions of gallons of water to run off into the ocean because you don't have, you won't build a reservoir system. Environmentalists keep blocking them. You have fire departments who, you know, are secondary priority, getting budgets trimmed while you see diversity, equity, inclusion bureaucracies continue to grow. I mean, again, just think of what you've seen in Seattle, where government spends many hundreds of millions of dollars actually making problems worse. Well, that's the same thing in Los Angeles County. This is blue state governance. Or to put it a different way, if you had a governor in California like Glenn Abbott in Texas or Ron DeSantis in Florida, who knows a thing or two about dealing with natural disasters, instead of Gavin Newsom, you had Abbott or DeSantis. If you had conservative mayors and county officials, you may have had a wildfire breakout, but you wouldn't have had the results of the wildfire. Things would have been different. So this may be the bitter fruit of voting for progressives. And I'll tell you something else. It's going to get even worse because a lot of these people who live on the coast are going to need to rebuild. That means they're going to need permits. California is notorious with slow walking the permit process along the coast because they have an entity there called the Coastal Commission, the California Coastal Commission, most of whose members are appointed, which has immense power in determining how and when you can rebuild or you can build or rebuild in California. Remember the actress Suzanne Summers?
Yes, I do. Three's Company.
She and her husband had a beachfront home. It was 40 years old. They wanted to remodel. They kept getting the stall. They kept getting delays. They kept getting, you know, conditions on doing this or that before we can allow you to begin work. They finally just tossed their hands in the air and moved. Think of all, when you see all of these smoking remnants of multi-million dollar homes and mansions and the like, if they think they're in tough shape now when they want to rebuild, let's see how long it takes them to get a permit. That's the other side of liberal governance. The very places that say we need more affordable housing are most notorious. And then again, that includes right here in King County and the cities within King County. They are notorious for talking about we need more affordable housing and then making it difficult, making it more expensive to get a permit to build. So we'll see if we see any changes there. But this is going to be a serious, serious reckoning for the good people who are just enduring terrible, terrible suffering right now in Los Angeles County. And Phil, we haven't got into the issue of insurance. We're going to be doing that a little later.
Yeah, we got a powerful story from a woman that was trying to use a garden hose to save her parents' home.
Because a lot of fire insurance policies have been canceled in the last year. Can you imagine what it means if you lose your entire house and there's no insurance? You have to start from the ground up when you get a permit. It's 21 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. John Carlson Show, Philip J. Vandervoort III right around the corner with a social media sweep. 26 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show Thursday edition of the radio program, A Record. What's going on, Philip J., in the social media world?
Yeah, a couple of local stories I want to try and hit on here. And the first one comes out of Marysville. And this happened overnight Tuesday into yesterday. And it involves a car that a police officer was trying to pull over. And I'm looking at a couple of different reports. The one I'm looking at from Fox 13, Seattle. Officer in Marysville shot and killed a suspect after a traffic stop at a Costco I think this is up close to Smoky Point.
It was dragging. He was either dragging the officer or his partner.
Somehow, as part of the traffic stop, the officer was dragged by the vehicle that had been pulled over. It appears that, according to investigators, there was an altercation. The suspect's car dragged an officer, was pulled over, pulled that suspect over. The suspect drove away and crashed the car into the Costco, and that car caught on fire. It's not known if the crash caused the fire. An investigator said the suspect died at the scene, but the identity and the cause of death have not been released. The officer who was dragged was hurt. A female officer was taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for minor injuries and later released. And so we're waiting on the identification of whoever was driving this vehicle that essentially fled from the officer's traffic stop or police stop. And what are we going to find out about whoever was driving this car? Is this going to be a first-time confrontation with police, or are we possibly going to have a repeat offender that didn't want to stop for the police officer, didn't want to be questioned by the police officer?
Or did they not get the news bulletin that the ban on police chases has been lifted?
Restored, right?
Yeah. Because of the Brian Haywood initiative.
Yeah. So
that passed last year.
We're still awaiting the coroner's report and identification, but I hope that we will get some decent answers once that coroner's report and the identification of that person becomes public. A GeekWire does a lot of tech news, but they've got one that kind of bridges the areas of technology and what happens when we all line up to wait to pick up somebody at SeaTac Airport. The headline says, Port of Seattle plans to use tech to target waiting drivers who park on the side of the roadway at the airport. Because, you know, you used to be able to, you could pull up into the parking garage, and that changed. Now we've got a cell phone parking lot where you wait and get a call from whoever you're waiting to pick up and then pull up onto the drive and so forth. But if anyone has been to the SeaTac Airport in the last couple of years, you know people just line up along the driveway as you come off of Highway 518 or State Route 518 to get up there. And apparently this is illegal. And
well, because
it's the more popular way to do it.
Well, it's because the cell phone lot.
Yep. Say it.
Is
say
inconvenient it. And is cluttered most of
congested,
the time.
Congested, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is the public telling you, hey, your solution for avoiding a massive jam of cars waiting right outside the airport. Your cell phone lot solution is not working well enough, and the reaction instead is to punish the people who are now waiting by the side of the road. I don't know who they're hurting by waiting by the side of the road.
If these people would just take light rail and public transit, we wouldn't have these issues.
So the upshot for the GeekWire story is that it's going to be some sort of a license plate reading technology the port will use. The GeekWire story says it's not clear what type of license plate reading tech they will actually select, but mobile systems adopted by other government agencies, including Seattle Police Department, capture images of license plates to enforce laws. So be aware, you could end up having your license plate scanned and you could get busted depending on how quickly they start to deploy all this technology for people who want to use pulling over on the side of the driveway instead of going to the cell phone lot.
It is 6:31 in the morning. Nancy Pelosi said Joe Biden has been such a successful president, maybe he belongs on Mount Rushmore. Remember that one? Well, a Gallup poll is just out asking Americans how they feel about Joe Biden's term in office. It's different from Nancy Pelosi's. So I'll give you the numbers coming right up. This is one of the strangest songs I've ever heard. Basically, it's a song telling guys you shouldn't try and go out with attractive women. You should try and, how do they put it, make an ugly girl your wife?
Yeah, yeah, whatever whatever to make Jimmy Soul feel better about his situation, I guess.
How do you think his wife responded to this?
I'm going to hedge my bets and say he never had one.
Okay.
My brother-in-law made this his walkout song at his wedding. He and his wife got married.
Oh, you're kidding.
Out of the church with this song.
And how are they doing?
I don't know, but I was told that was not an option for us.
Last month, the fire chief of L.A., herself very liberal, Kristen Crowley is her name. She warned Mayor Karen Bass in a memo that her reductions in the fire department's budget were putting L.A. at serious risk for wildfires because it reduced their ability to respond to emergencies. This is a memo dated like 5 weeks ago, December 4th. Last month, the fire chief warned in a memo that the $18 million in cuts to the fire department, quote, severely limited the department's capacity to prepare for, train for, and respond to large-scale emergencies, including wildfires. Again, I'm quoting from the memo here. Without this funding, pilot compliance and readiness are jeopardized. Aerial firefighting capabilities are diminished, she wrote. This was a memo presented to the Board of Fire Commissioners, which is a panel of appointees, people appointed by the mayor, who oversee the management of the fire department. She said that in the memo, the fire chief did, that the overtime hours funded heavy equipment operators who make fire control lines around wildland fires, managing firefighting robotics, wildland fire road maintenance, post-fire demolition services, and all hazard emergency services. Ultimately, loss of funding impairs the department's ability to mitigate wildland fires and other hazards effectively. I am guessing that the response from Mayor Karen Bass's office will be something along the lines of, this is no time for recriminations. This is no time for scapegoating. All the same, I would like to know how she responds to this. All right, let's shift gears for a moment. And yes, as we get further updates from this continuing problem ordeal in Southern California, we'll pass the information along to you. Remember when Nancy Pelosi was telling 60 Minutes that Joe Biden's face belongs on Mount Rushmore?
Such a consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States.
Are
want
you
to
really
know what
saying
comes next?
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. This is the same Nancy Pelosi who behind closed doors says, get him off the stage. Get him out of this race.
That may be my favorite Pelosi quote ever. Well, but Teddy Roosevelt's up there.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you have someone like him over there, of course you want to make room for Joe Biden. Anyway, the American people don't seem to see the Joe Biden administration in quite the same light. New Gallup poll just out yesterday. Oh, excuse me. It actually came out Tuesday, day before yesterday. Believe that Joe Biden's presidency will either be remembered as below average or poorly. 54% of Americans believe Joe Biden's presidency will be remembered as below average or poorly. Another 26% said, yeah, it'll be average. 19% of Americans believe it'll be above average or outstanding. That's your 1 in 5 Americans who are just hopelessly clueless or so partisan they can't see beyond that. But what that means is that you've got Biden's net positive score at -35%. -35%. So only 13% of Americans believe that he's outstanding or above average, while you have 54% who say that he's poor or below average. So on the presidential scale of the last 10 presidents, Joe Biden ranks 9th. Richard Nixon is the only president who does worse. And that is, of course, he resigned in disgrace because of Watergate. That seems to me to be about right, even though I think Joe Biden's policies are far worse than Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon's negative reviews largely because of a scandal that drove him from office. But boy, is that ever, he has a net negative score of 35%, meaning 35% percentage points
Americans believe that he was below average or poor than believe he was outstanding or above average. So you have a combined total of just 19% of Americans think that Joe Biden was above average or worse, and 54% who believe that he was below average or worse. That is a net score of minus 35. By the way, the president who does best is John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy, whose administration was really tragically cut short. He was in there less than 3 years. But the assassination of President Kennedy in 1963 made him an instant martyr for his beliefs and ideals on the campaign trail, and that has sustained him. In second place comes Ronald Reagan, pretty close behind. So that is where Americans are seeing Joe Biden's presidency right now. Not sure I can blame them. I'll tell you, someone whose popularity has improved is Donald Trump. Trump's ratings, again, I'm quoting here from the Gallup poll executive summary. Again, this poll just out day before yesterday. Trump's ratings have improved substantially from when he left office in January 2021 in the wake of the January 6 attack on the Capitol and the peak in U.S. deaths from COVID-19. At that time, 29% of Americans thought history would judge Trump as above average or outstanding, and 61% believed he would be seen as below average or poor. Since that time, that's a net rating of minus 32 for Trump. Since that time, his approval has skyrocketed to just minus 4%. So he went from minus 32% to minus 4%. I guess now Americans had something to compare Trump's administration with, which was Biden's administration. It is 48 minutes after 6 o'clock. Checking in real quickly with our good friend Lars Larson, our noon to 3 host, as the Commute with Carlson continues. Talk Radio 570 KVI. All right, to our good buddy Lars Larson, our noon to 3 host on the John Carlson Show. Good morning, Lars.
Good morning, John. I pray for all those people in Southern California. But sadly, they are the victims of the people that were elected to lead that state at the local level, at the national level, all the way around the block.
Well, we've been talking about that. I said you knew this was going to get political. You knew that this was going to happen, and, you know, they're into two camps. The left is saying climate change, climate change, climate change, and the right is looking more at specifics, and they're saying very poor forestry practices, very poor water management practices, which might explain why fire hydrants aren't spewing any water.
Yep.
Very poor policies discouraging homeless encampments. You know, they have 24 wildfires a day in L.A. County that the fire department
has. How much of that is
out.
Homelessness? Is no, caused
from,
by the homeless.
From homelessness. Just 24 fires a day in L.A. County.
And there's got to be a way to address that, and it's got to be consequences for people who start those fires. And I don't care if they're homeless or not, you can't be starting fires. And the other thing I don't understand is the individual choices of people. If I lived in an area that was very much at risk from fire, whether it's the Pacific Northwest or California, I'd have a metal roof. I don't know if you remember the red-roofed building in Maui that survived.
Oh, yeah.
But it had a metal roof, but the biggest thing was they had 5 feet of river rock, which actually looks nice around your house, around the base of the house. Their house survived, nothing else around them. The pictures are almost look like somebody put it together with some kind of video tricks.
No, I know. It's because it's so stark. Everything else is smoldering except that one building. When we come back on the John Carlson Show, where Americans are moving from and where Americans are moving to, very instructive. As the John Carlson Show continues, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Ready for hour number two of the John Carlson Show. By the way, if you want to help, there are a lot of ways you can help, a lot of great organizations. You can never go wrong donating to the Salvation Army. Yes, the Salvation Army is there. in Southern California. They're all over the world, really, but all over this country, wherever there is trouble, whenever there is distress, whenever there's an emergency, you're going to see the Salvation Army. And they are down in the wildfire zone, the growing wildfire zone in L.A. County. If you want to help them, just go to SalvationArmyUSA.org. That's SalvationArmyUSA.org. All right. Let's shift gears here for a while. California in the news because some people probably going to be thinking about moving once they look at the wreckage of their home and wonder whether it's worth staying in California or not. And if they do move, where would they move to? Well, we have a very good idea of where Americans are moving from, where they're moving to. A lot of people who live in California have already been moving out long before any wildfires, or not before any wildfires, but before this wildfire. California, for the fourth straight year, more people moved out of California than any other state. It's called net minus migration. So more people moving out of California than moving into California for the fourth year in a row. Okay, it would have been in the 60s, 70s, 80s, well into the 90s. It would have been inconceivable that California would be a state more people would move from than to. But that is the reality. As California has become a one-party state, and it is. California is remarkably like Washington in that they have Democrat, not just control, but dominance in their state legislature. They call it an assembly. They have had Democrat governors for most of the last 30 years, and their major metropolitan areas, with the exception of San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles, dominated by, again, one party, where the battles, where the debates are not between Democrats and Republicans. They're between Democrats and the radical left. And as we see here in Washington state, the radical left, even though they're a minority of people who consider themselves Democrats, have a majority of the political power because most Democrats in public office fear the left. They don't want people demonstrating in front of their homes. They don't want to get a primary opponent. They don't want to be demonized all the time on social media. So they usually just duck and don't criticize the left, or they'll even vote with them just to keep them off their back. We see that in Seattle. We see it in King County. We see it in Olympia. That's also basically political life in California. Very similar. And so when you look at where Americans are moving to and where they are moving from, we see a couple of trends. In the last 5 years or so, they are moving to states like South Carolina. More Americans moved to South Carolina than any other state. Texas is in second place. For the previous 3 years, Texas was number one. Now it's in second place. Then there's North Carolina, Florida, and Tennessee. Three of those five states have something in common: no income tax. All five of those states have something in common. They are red states. They are conservative states. Now let's look at the bottom five, because this is also very instructive. And again, this data comes from literally from the road. It comes from U-Haul. They look at where people, are renting U-Haul to move, where they're renting to go to, and where they're renting to go from, going to leave. So check out the bottom five. In 50th place is California. And as I mentioned, they have been that way for four straight years. In 49th place is Massachusetts. In 48th place, New Jersey. In 47th place, New York. In 46th place, it's Pennsylvania. Four of these five states are not only blue, but they are among the bluest states in the country: New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, California. Pennsylvania has been a blue state, but now it is voting more Republican. Donald Trump just won. They just elected a Republican U.S. senator. So Pennsylvania is kind of a purple state politically. I mean, it's blue in Philadelphia and the area around it, and the Pittsburgh center core, the city of Pittsburgh. But in between, it's very much a red state. Someone once said Pennsylvania is Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and West Virginia in between. That might be overstating it a little bit, but you get the point. The fracking issue really hurt Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania. She came out against fracking, and then she said she had changed her position. Why'd you change your position? Well, I've changed my position. Why? Well, because I've just changed it. So voters weren't too convinced by her explanation there. What do you know? And interestingly, Pennsylvania also has, they have John Fetterman is their Democratic senator, but Fetterman is increasingly sniping at his own party for being out of touch. So we'll see if Pennsylvania begins to get its act together or not. But this survey shows what kind of governance succeeds and what kind of governance fails. I mean, there's two ways for people to vote, at the polls and with their feet. Same thing with businesses. Now, what about Washington State? Washington State ranks toward the bottom, not the bottom five, but Washington now for the second straight year has had more people leave the state of Washington then move into the state of Washington. And even in the years before that, the only thing that kept more people from leaving than coming here was illegal immigration. Washington is known as a popular place, sanctuary, not just sanctuary county, King County, not just sanctuary city, Seattle. It's a sanctuary state. The word gets around. The nonprofit organizations, the illegal alien activists, and the rest move, encourage people to head up the I-5 corridor to Washington. So we're not as bad, but we're in that direction. And you should think about Washington. For heaven's sakes, we should be a magnet for people around the country. The scenery, the natural environment, you've got you know, a farm economy on the eastern side of the state. You've got a high-tech economy. You've got some manufacturing there with Boeing. We've got great schools and universities. But what you have is political dysfunction. What you have are governments that are very wealthy, but they spend their money making problems into crises. They spent a lot of money making homelessness worse. They spent a lot of money making drug overdose statistics worse. Somehow, legalizing drugs didn't seem to be helping. They have spent a lot of time and have obnoxiously preened themselves on how progressive and elevated their approach to crime is, particularly juvenile crime, and crime has skyrocketed. Violent crime, in particular, has skyrocketed. Did you know that in the city of Seattle, or I think that might be King County, seven teenagers were shot and killed, and they haven't made any arrests in any of the killings? That was 2024. Seven teenagers shot and killed. There have been no arrests. You're thinking, well, it's a shame people didn't witness this so they could report it. Oh, most of the shootings were witnessed, and they're not helping. They're not reporting. They're not confiding in police that we know of. But you would think that would be a very stark statistic. While the legislature continues to demonize guns, they haven't gotten around to demonizing thugs and gang members who are responsible for much of the crime that they continue committing, because when they are caught, they are usually not kept in the juvenile justice facility, but instead are given home detention, ankle monitor. Some juvenile criminals have cut through five ankle bracelets. And yet these juvenile court judges, who are notorious for being politically motivated by social justice ideology, continue to let them back out. Think about that. juvenile judges having a defendant in front of them who cut through their ankle bracelet to commit another crime decides, instead of holding them in the juvenile justice facility, instead decides to give them another ankle bracelet. And then they cut through that one and commit another crime, and another juvie judge gives them another ankle bracelet. You know, at what point does stubborn ideology just begin to look downright stupid? But that's what we got going in King County. That's one more reason why people move in. Even if they stay in Washington State, they move out of King County. The expenses, the problems, the dysfunction, you can understand why. It's coming up here on 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, the John Carlson Show, this Thursday morning, Commute with Carlson. Philip G. Vandervoort III is waiting with the social media sweep.
Yeah, I've got some information on some of these canceled fire insurance policies
and,
in and around L.A.
And climate change, is that to blame for the wildfires? Boy, we are sure hearing that it is. Cliff Mass from the University of Washington Department of Atmospheric Science is joining us at 8:03 to set that record straight as the commute continues. Good morning. 24 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Good morning this Thursday, or as we like to say, Friday Eve, the John Carlson Show. Philip J., what's going on in the social media world?
Well, a preliminary estimate, I guess, about damage so far from what we know about these L.A. area fires. The social media sweep, sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Former radio colleague of mine here in Seattle, who's now down at KGO in San Francisco as a business news reporter down there, Jason Brooks, he posted this. On top of the human and environmental toll from the L.A. wildfires, the economic impact is beyond staggering. AccuWeather, I'm not sure why AccuWeather, which is, you know, a weather forecasting outlet, but I guess they must cover some of the news that goes into what happens with weather. But AccuWeather puts the total economic loss at $52 to $57 billion, factoring in property, business, tourism, and health. By comparison, a little over a year ago, the Maui Lahaina wildfire, $13 to $16 billion in total losses. So upwards of four times as much damage financially. So that's something to keep in mind.
Already.
And again, we're really at the early outset of all
this. It's
going
to get worse.
There's no way. It's going to be probably lower than those numbers. What about the political priorities in California? You've been hitting on that between yesterday and today, and the scrutiny and the intensity on the focus of that is getting larger. I'm looking at a post from a California State Assemblyman, Bill Essely, representing California's 63rd Assembly District, former local federal prosecutor fighting to restore common sense in Sacramento. On his social media profile, he writes, California has prioritized, I guess I got to start up at the top here. I was down below. For everyone saying this is not a time for blame, it's exactly the moment that the people who have been responsible for the mismanagement of California's fire policies need to be held accountable. Governor Gavin Newsom has been obsessed with holding a special session to Trump-proof California in the Assembly when he should be focused on fireproofing our communities. And he writes, here are a few hard facts about the Democratic-run state's failures to address fire prevention. He gives a couple. Here's one that sums it up. California has prioritized suppression-only strategies and failed to remove accumulated vegetation, something you hit on yesterday. Leaning to denser forests with increased fuel loads, our forests have become tinderboxes. You know, these go to the hillsides around the greater Los Angeles area, leading to devastating outcomes when a fire starts. And he links a story or a report from California Policy Center, which I'm guessing is probably like the Washington Policy Center. And he writes, bottom line, many of the wildfires California experienced could have been prevented or significantly mitigated with better management policies and funding. This is a time for accountability and, more importantly, change in how we approach fire policies. Now, we've been hearing a little bit about fire insurance policies that have been canceled. State Farm. I'm looking at a post from a California attorney, and her name is Laura Powell. She writes, State Farm canceled 1,600 policies in Pacific Palisades, so just that neighborhood north of Santa Monica, because the state would not allow them to raise premiums enough to cover their risk exposure. The affected homeowners would then likely have to rely on the state-run FAIR plan, an expensive last resort insurance program, but the FAIR plan reportedly only had a surplus of $200 million as of April 2024 and was likely to become insolvent if a catastrophic event occurred.
Thank goodness that hasn't happened yet.
Right, yeah, so that's to be determined. And she sums it up. Governor Newsom goes around posturing about politics instead of trying to solve urgent problems. Our state government takes billions of dollars from hardworking Californians and provides barely anything in return, an unconscionable failure.
But keep in mind, that State Farm was willing to sell these insurance policies, keep these people insured, but they needed permission to charge higher rates, and the state of California would not let them do so.
Well, and the insurance companies, I'm guessing, are responding to previous wildfires where things burned and things burned and burned because the state couldn't get their arms around how to stop a fire.
And they also looked at the state's competency in deterring or mitigating, limiting wildfires once they start. And they said, you know what? We're going to have to charge more. And the state of California says, well, you can't do it. They said, okay, we'll stop offering insurance. Right. So now these people are stuck. Now these consumers are stuck. They don't even have the choice of getting a policy from State Farm. Once again, government dysfunction. All right. It is coming up here on 7:30, the Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Great report on the insurance problems, as if they didn't have anything else to worry about already. When we come back, Tesla is the most profitable car-making company in America, most popular car company in America. They sell e-cars, right? How come other car companies need to get a government subsidy to build and sell e-cars when one is doing it with no subsidies? We'll get into that in just a moment here on The Commute with Carlson. Okay, I think the key word here is I know.
That's what I'm told.
Bill Withers. When he was writing this song, he said, what am I going to write here? I have no idea. Wait a minute. What if I just kept saying, I know, I know, I know?
Hold on. Eight more bars of me repeating over the same music.
All right. 24 minutes to 8 o'clock in the morning. We are almost focusing on the terrible damage and the reckoning for misgovernance in Southern California that has made this so much worse than it otherwise needed to be. We're dipping into cover with other issues, but primarily focused on this because it's an ongoing story. We keep getting more updates on what's happening. Anderson Cooper was interviewing the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, about the reports about fire hydrants running out of water. And here is how Newsom addressed this head on by taking full, complete, total accountability. No, maybe not.
We are in what feels like, you know, the end right now. But of course, I know it's not.
Yes. Do not let these.
I think we may have got the wrong clip here with us.
Gavin Newsom has had way more cigarettes than that lady.
Yes. Unless that lady is self-identifying as a governor of California, that is not Gavin Newsom.
She couldn't do it. Okay. The job anymore.
Here we go.
The situation with the water, obviously, in Palisades ran out last night in the hydrants. I was talking to the firefighter on this block. Yeah. They left because there was no water in the hydrant here.
The local folks are trying to figure that out. I mean, just when you have a system that is not dissimilar to what we've seen in other extraordinarily large-scale fires, whether it be pipe, electricity, or whether it just be the complete overwhelm of the system. I mean, those hydrants are typical for two or three fires, maybe one fire. You have something at this scale. But again, that's going to be determined by the local.
Okay. Interesting how all of a sudden the governor is talking about the importance of local government and local government accountability. Plenty of blame to go around here, and that is in blue states, basics of governance continue to be a problem. It continue to be a problem because so much of the service and maintenance work that is not fun and is not splashy, and you don't get a lot of headlines unless something goes wrong. A lot of these important work that needs to be done is a secondary priority. I mean, we see it here all the time. Think of all the potholes, particularly in the city of Seattle. They had that a $900 million bond measure to fill potholes. among other things. And 5 years after the bond issue, there seemed to be no sign that potholes were fixed. But, you know, it's that, it's, you know, we have the West Point sewage treatment facility. Several times we've had problems with sewer leaks directly into Puget Sound. And one more time, it gets back to basic service and maintenance. Now, in California, the problem has been with water storage, their reservoir system. By the way, we have that problem in Washington, too. But we normally skate by because, frankly, because of so much precipitation. Rain in the lowlands and melting snow in the highlands. But in California, they don't have that advantage, particularly in the southern part of the state. But they, again, enviros don't like building reservoir systems. So you've got plenty of water in the state, but it's all running off into the ocean. And when you have this a problem like this, what do we hear? Well, local government, this really is something they need to focus on. It's local management, yes, but having an adequate reservoir system, that is a state issue. And again, it's not something that brings crowds to their feet. It's not something you can fundraise, you know, with a direct mail appeal, but it's important. It needs to happen. All right. The woman who is the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, spent decades in Congress not making the country a better place, and she's not making L.A. a better place. Here is the mayor of L.A. telling everyone, hey, it's really important right now that you conserve water. And listen to how she just kind of stumbles through this press conference. It's clear to me that, you know, when she returned from Ghana, she said, oh, I've been following this. You know, I was on a military plane. I was every minute I have been so close to this issue. Nothing has diverted my attention. It's so obvious that she's just reading what people are putting in front of her. You'll get that drift here as we play. This was Mayor Karen Bass yesterday.
Be prepared, food, water, medicine, a bag packed and ready. Again, this is an active situation. And conserve water to the extent that you can. We want to make sure that we are ready if we need more water.
But if we need more water, we want to, is Corinne, this sounds like Corinne Jean-Pierre is the mayor of L.A. Just utterly clueless. If we need more water, lady, they didn't have water on Tuesday. Anyway, let's continue.
But make no mistake.
Yeah.
Los Angeles will rebuild stronger than ever. Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles.
What? Wait a minute. I got to replay that. That's not the tape. Skipping ahead, that was Karen Bass saying, well, I got to hear this again.
Resources and shelter is available.
Yeah.
All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles together.
URL what?
Clearly, there was a Joe Biden moment on the teleprompter or something. Somebody was writing the speech, and that's the best thing I can come up with. They must have put
that as
a placeholder, and they never put the URL in there.
So
the link.
Let me get this straight. These are imperative government services. Thank God we've got a place for you to access these services. Just go to
insert website
URL.
Stronger than ever.
Okay.
Right now, if you need help, emergency information,
I need
resources,
help.
And shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles, together is how we will get through this. Through the
I don't know if you're going to get through this, Mayor.
Heroism of our firefighters, the vigilance of Angelenos, and the spirit of our city. This is a big moment. It is a big moment for all of us to come together, for Angelenos to be united, for Angelenos to be prepared to help each other. This is who we are. LA will rise, and make no mistake, I am confident that we will rebuild.
That's your mayor. There's your leader.
Is that what we called a hastily prepared statement? I'm looking at memes, and like one it that's is obviously called, Photoshopped.
That's what's called pulling it out of your... time is it now? It's 7:46 here on the commute. Yeah.
She's giving that like the disaster is over. Almost, if the fires have been put out and we shall rebuild from here on out.
I'm looking at one meme that was posted, and somebody's holding a white sheet of paper with the big block letters URL question mark, and I think they've Photoshopped it. They've put themselves in the front of a burning building in the background. So that idea of URL question mark as something is on fire and burning.
Well, she barely got elected mayor, even though LA is a heavily Democrat city and Democrat county, to Rick Caruso, who is a very successful entrepreneur and businessman. And he has weighed in about why so much of this chaos, bedlam, and billions of dollars of property loss did not need to happen. I'll tell you what he's saying about all this right around the corner as the commute with Carlson continues. Talk Radio 570 KVI. And something that's very interesting, the news anchor tries to play down what he says, and then seconds later, one of his reporters in the field basically says, yeah, what we're hearing is what the guy who ran for mayor was just saying. It's a fun moment, and that's coming right up. So we're hearing from a lot of people who are getting very defensive about the criticisms coming in for California being unprepared and inept in its response to these wildfires, making them vastly more damaging and deadly than they otherwise would have been. They are responding by saying, well, this is all the fault of climate change. Is that true? Well, we'll put that question to someone who knows not only about climate science, but about wildfires and climate and weather, as he has studied this particular problem. Cliff Mass, University of Washington, joining us in 10 minutes on the John Carlson Show. Don't want to miss that. Here now is Rick Caruso, the man who lost to Karen Bass for mayor of Los Angeles.
Former L.A. mayoral candidate.
This is a report. This is a news anchor who is introducing the story.
Real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciette. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now. This house is going to be a total loss. They have no water to put on this fire. They are standing by because they're trying to save the home that is next to it.
Gee, I wonder how that anchor feels now. being refuted and rebutted by his own reporter.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
Nah, they just told your reporter, who's actually on the scene, that they have no water. Idiot anchors. All right. It is coming up here in 7:55. Cliff Mass right around the corner. Climate change and the wildfires. Any connection?
As these wildfires spread across Southern California, we know that many environmentalists right now are sounding the alarm on the role that climate change is playing in fueling some of these fires.
Oh, we have been hearing that refrain over and over again. That's Kana Whitworth, ABC News, Los Angeles. We have been hearing this, stations across the country, local, national. It's all about the role of climate change in these wildfires. There's now five of them, by the way. Five of them.
Because these wildfires spread across Southern California, we know that many environmentalists right now are sounding the alarm on the role that climate change is playing in fueling some of these fires.
Okay. Cliff Mass from the University of Washington has been talking about the hard science of climate and weather for many decades. Author of the best-selling book of the Pacific Northwest about the weather called The Weather of the Pacific Northwest. And the author of many, many dozens of peer-reviewed studies and has specially focused on wildfires in the Pacific Northwest. Cliff Mass, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And I've also done a lot of work on fires in California, so I'm quite interested in that as well.
Excellent. And, of course, how would you be answering Kana Whitworth from ABC and all these other reporters about the role climate change has played in fueling these fires?
Well, it's pretty easy to disprove that this had very little to do with climate change. And importantly, it was forecast. The winds were forecast almost perfectly. I did a blog before the fire even started on Monday, warning that this could happen. The Weather Service also put out, you know, very draconian warnings, and still it happened. And we can talk about that. But regarding climate change, you know, the one way to check it very easily is to see whether, you know, California, Southern California, has gotten drier. You know, during the fall, during the last several decades, climate change was important, and it would be getting drier. Well, I plotted that up last night. And the answer is no, there is no trend. And so there's no indication that climate change has anything to do with this.
Again, Cliff Mass, who he mentions his blog, that's Cliff Mass, two S's, cliffmass.blogspot.com. It's the most popular blogging site of any UW faculty member. And again, Cliff actually blogged about this before the wildfires broke out and raced up and down the West Coast from Malibu, Pacific Palisades, and continuing to grow. By the way, what is your, right now, as you monitor what's going on there, what do you think is going to happen today, Cliff Mass?
Well, the winds have backed off a lot. They've rubbed up slightly this morning, but it's nothing like what it was. So, you know, a little bit, some winds today, but not equal to what happened a few days ago, and then they'll die down as we get later today and tomorrow. So I think the winds will be more favorable. So they'll be able to get there, get control over this thing. I'm very, very sure about it during the next day or two. But the damage is already done.
The worst is over, you think?
The worst, I think, is definitely over. And now I think we have the hard work of determining exactly how this started. And, I mean, we know that these strong winds, very dry, downslope winds, Santa Ana conditions, you know, obviously that was central. But the question is, what started the fires? And, you know, one thing I was worried about was the electrical system. And I was pushing, and a number of other people were pushing, for them to completely black out the area. That's what they really needed to do. But they didn't do it. They depowered a few neighborhoods, but they didn't take all the power down, which they really needed to do. So it will be very unfortunate if it turns out that the electrical system started this fire. So that we'll hopefully know about that during next week or two.
A lot of attention also being paid to either arson or carelessness, particularly from homeless campers. Camping stoves.
That's right. So, right. So, I mean, many of the fires have started from the electrical system. So that's the first thing you look at. But there are a lot of homeless with campfires in that area. I've confirmed that. So, you know, that's another possibility. And, you know, some kind of carelessness at a home could do it too. People could have a fire pit that embers got out or whatever. So that's what we need to understand now, exactly what caused the fire. But it is very problematic that they did not shut off all the power. That's a real problem, and we know that that's true.
What is the response to those who, you know, are hearing about government ineptitude, lack of planning, lack of good stewardship in removing underbrush that was acting as tinder and kindling? By people who are defensive about these things, so they simply try and change the subject. This is really all about climate change.
That's right, and that's an excuse for poor management of the situation. Now, some wildfires in the West are associated with poor land management, and that's certainly true in our area. You know, our current governor, not for long, has not been responsible in terms of having prescribed fires, thinning the forest. Our forests have been very mismanaged, and so they're very fire-prone, so that's a problem. Inadequate de-energizing power lines, that's another one. Down there in California, they appear to have a significant water problem. The water pressure failed when they needed it the most, so that's a management problem. So there's a lot of governmental mismanagement involved in this whole wildfire issue.
If you were to, how would you compare this to, say, Lahaina?
Well, you know, it could turn out to be very similar, unfortunately. The damage level, the dollar damage level will probably be very equivalent. Lahaina was around $5 billion.
I think it's already exceeded. They're looking at $13 billion or more.
Right. Well, that's right. That could easily be true. Considering if you have a few thousand homes that have been destroyed, the houses there cost many of them cost millions. So, I mean, you get into the billions
and
immediately.
Of course, also Lahaina, we're talking about, you know, a lot fewer people were directly impacted than are being impacted right now.
That's correct. So in terms of dollar amount, this will certainly be equivalent. You know, that there's little doubt about that. Both of them are associated with downslope windstorms. That's what happened here. Air coming down a mountain, speeding up, very low relative humidity. Same thing happened in Lahaina. Perfect forecast, same as Lahaina. People had tremendous troubles getting out. They had all these traffic jams, so people were trapped. Same as Lahaina. So there's a lot of aspects of this that are very similar to Lahaina. The only thing we don't know yet is the initiation. Lahaina was the power lines. We know that.
Right.
Now the question is whether the power lines did it here too.
What can we here in Washington State learn from what's happening right now in Southern California?
Well, one thing you got to learn is the forecasts have gotten very good. You have to take the forecast, the weather forecast, very seriously now. So that's one big lesson. Having a plan to get people out in a timely way and not having these traffic jams, that's a lesson. Vegetation management, that's a lesson. There's all kinds of lessons here. These are very, it's amazingly similar. The problem is similar everywhere, really.
Why is there such reluctance in public forests, particularly, to clear out the underbrush?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Some people, you know, like to blame this whole thing on climate change. For them, the fires are a convenient tool. So they're not motivated to do it. Other people don't want to spend the money. They don't want to invest in it. You know, there's some, in quotes, environmentalists who think that, you know, leaving the forest to decay and become crowded and unhealthy is a good thing. So, you know, I can't give you the ultimate explanation here, but we've seen this failure mode all over the Western United States.
Do you see the tide beginning to turn against what I believe is scaremongering and propaganda and ideology-infused demagoguery about climate change in favor of a healthy skepticism until they see the science?
Well, are you talking about in the public or on government?
In the public.
You know, here in this, if I look at the Seattle Times as an example, they haven't changed so much. Not yet. I mean, they still have this this climate lab group that's supported by outside interests that are pushing a certain angle.
So climate alarmism.
Yeah, well, that's what we're talking about here. So we have some of the mainstream media like the Seattle Times, you know, they're still doing it. And will they change? I don't know. But it's still going on, that's for sure.
Cliff Mass, it's always great having you on the show. We haven't talked since the election. That could have gone better. with the Climate Commitment Act, because you know what I saw was a massive infusion of money and a campaign of demagoguery and just unfactual attacks burying any real debate over Initiative 2117, the Climate Commitment Act. And as a consequence, of course, that initiative failed to pass after voters had twice before said no. Do you read anything into that?
Well, I read a lot into that. I think massive misinformation, really deception is what was the key here, plus spending a lot of money. The polls earlier in the season, if we went back to June or May, actually the initiative was going to pass. Mm-hmm. But then there was this massive advertising, and then I'm talking about the anti side outspent the pro side by 10-1.
Yeah.
Massive misinformation campaign suggesting that if the initiative passed, then bridges and roads would not be taken care of, and traffic jams would spread, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They were all lies.
Oh, complete lies. The Climate Commitment Act forbids any Climate Commitment Act money being used for roads or bridges. It prohibits it.
That's right. That's exactly correct. So this was a massive deception campaign, sponsored by special interests and people were getting the cash. And it's extremely unfortunate that what happened. But that's my take on it.
No, I think that's a very accurate take. One number just drives it all home, Cliff. More money was spent to defeat the Initiative 2117 to take down the Climate Commitment Act tax on backdoor tax on gasoline and to defeat the capital gains repeal. More money was spent on those two initiatives than was spent electing Bob Ferguson governor.
Right. Well, people are going to pay for it, literally.
Yeah, quite literally.
So our gas prices are far higher than our neighbors in Oregon and other states, and so people are going to pay for it, the gas pump and in other areas. So, because increasing the price of energy propagates through the whole economy.
Yes. Cliff Mass, setting the record straight here on the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVII. Cliff, have a great weekend. Thanks for joining me.
Great. Good talking to you.
You got it. It is 19 minutes after 8 o'clock. By the way, an invitation for all of you. It's going to be a historic day a week from Monday. Week from Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump will be inaugurated for a second term as president. And, of course, after he's inaugurated, he will deliver his inaugural speech. And you are invited to join us for that occasion. Here's what I'm talking about. We've been wanting to do an event down in South King County for a long time. So we've rented out Stimpy's Bar and Grill, Sports Bar and Grill.
One you might remember as they were one of the establishments that
pushed back
on the mask mandates.
On mask mandates. That's what caught our attention about this place. Also, the fact that they have room for 100 people. And they serve a great breakfast buffet. So here's how it is going to work. Trump takes the oath at 9 a.m. And immediately after taking the oath, he'll deliver his inaugural speech. So we're going to be broadcasting our show, which runs from 6 to 9. And then, of course, you'll hear watch the oath taking and the speech. And that's going to be, again, at Stimpy's Sports Bar and Grill on Pacific Highway South in Kent. Tickets are $35, but it includes everything. It includes, your breakfast buffet and coffee, other beverages, your KVI swag, parking, all that is taken care of. And you're going to be hanging out with a lot of people who feel the way you do. So you won't have to feel, outgunned. You're one place where you're going to have plenty of people who see the world the way you do. So if that sounds fun, go to KVI.com. That's KVI.com. Across the top, scroll over where it says KVI inaugural event and sign up. Sign up because I guarantee it's going to sell out.
It's already halfway sold out.
Yeah, it's halfway sold out now, and we just started this a couple of days ago.
Tickets went on sale Monday, and we're halfway sold out.
So the quicker you act, the better. Again, that's KVI.com. Scroll across the top, KVI inaugural event. Going to be a great time. It's 21 minutes after 8. Philip J. Vandervoort III with his favorite segment of the day, social media from socialists on The John Carlson Show. Well, it strikes me Cliff Mass was actually doing more to warn people about the possibility and probability of windstorm whipped wildfires than the politicians in Southern California. He was actually blogged about this before it happened.
Yeah, I remember, I think, must have been Monday, seeing
it was Monday.
Some sort of an alert that was coming from, like, essentially the National Weather Service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they warned about it, too.
I think they used the word life-threatening. And I remember I saw that maybe early Monday, and I remember watching some national newscasts on Monday evening thinking, I wonder if they'll report on this. And I watched the Bret Baier, Fox newscast, a couple of segments of that on Monday evening. I didn't see anything about it, and I thought maybe I misunderstood what was going on with this warning. But I think it was just that maybe not enough people really took that to heart, took it seriously about what kind of impact it could have on Tuesday.
And now we know. All right, Philip J. Vandervoort III, your favorite segment of the day, social media from socialists. What's going on?
Yes, Seattle Congresswoman, United States Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal caught the attention of another House member, Republican from North Carolina, Nancy Mace. You've talked about Nancy Mace numerous times on the show before.
Yes.
And all this revolves around the passage of the Lake and Riley Act earlier this week in the House, the social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. So Nancy Mace posted a clip of the floor speech by Pramila Jayapal in her opposition to the Lake and Riley Act. And as you pointed out on Tuesday's show, Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal was one of, six Washington delegation members that voted against the Lake and Riley Act?
Six of the eight Democrats voted against the Lake and Riley Act, which would simply make it easier to detain someone in the country illegally who commits a low-level crime, like the man who ended up killing Lake and Riley.
He would commit
a low-level crime. They just let him go.
It would lower the threshold of crimes that would be included.
Exactly.
So listen to Pramila Jayapal's answer to why she's opposed to the Lake and Riley Act.
Many of us in Congress are parents. Imagine your child is with a group of kids grabbing an after-school snack at a 7-Eleven, and one of them chooses to just snitch a little candy bar off the shelf.
I'm not sure what
the shop owner calls the police, and all the kids are arrested for shoplifting.
Yeah, that
happens. If your child is a DACA recipient, someone who has lived here nearly their entire life, they are now subject to mandatory detention under this bill.
What a gross oversimplification of what's going on with the Lake and Riley Act.
And again, it's not real. Show me anywhere in America where a group of teenagers are shopping and buying things. One of them ends up shoplifting a candy bar, and they all get arrested.
Yeah, right.
Where? Where does that happen?
I wish we had a handle on retail theft like that.
We have kids in King County that get arrested and for possessing guns illegally. And they get ankle home detention monitoring. So
they get diversion.
Yeah.
No, if you bring a gun to school, the King County Prosecutor's Office recommends diversion.
Yeah.
If you are caught bringing a gun to school.
Yeah. And then one more. I'll try and make this as quick as I can. The Washington State Standard posted this story about the incoming Trump administration, the outgoing Biden administration, and states like Washington and Oregon and California and California, and to that end, Washington's efforts to impose their climate, agenda efforts. And the Washington State Standard story says major legal brawl may decide what types of cars Americans can buy. State climate efforts hinge on California's authority to set emission standards stricter than federal rules. And it says California is going to be urging the U.S. EPA to finalize several pending waivers because the state of California gets this waiver thing going so they can have a tougher standard. And they want to get the EPA to act on this before Trump takes over at the White House on Inauguration Day. Officials in blue states are preparing to defend their authority in court should Trump seek to revoke the waivers. And attorneys general in some red states are pushing to end the waivers altogether, mounting a legal challenge to California's power to set its own rules. And Washington would fall into that category as well, to kind of have these stricter carbon emissions rules and things like that, all as part of climate agenda politics. So that's, the clock is ticking, and it sure looks like the Trump administration wants to try and slow down that process for California to have these stricter standards, and by that, Washington as well.
It is 31 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. When we come back, how does the American electorate believe that Joe Biden's term in office should be remembered? Well, a lot differently than Nancy Pelosi was saying just a few months ago. Details straight ahead. 23 minutes to 9 o'clock. Welcome back. Thursday edition of the John Carlson. You know, I've got to play this clip from the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, during the run-up to the worst wildfire in California history, it looks like, by the time all is said and done, was in the African nation of Ghana on a political junket. What exactly Ghana has to do with Los Angeles, California, I am not sure. But anyway, she was there, and then when the worst that you could expect or imagine ended up happening, she was still in Ghana. She came home yesterday, and this is what she said at her press conference.
Be prepared, food, water, medicine, a bag packed and ready. Again, this is an active situation.
She's saying it's an active situation a day and a half after people were fleeing from their homes and flames were erupting throughout Southern California, particularly in the Pacific Palisades area.
And conserve water to the extent that you can. We want to make sure that we are ready if we need more water.
If we need more water, there's no water in the fire hydrants when they're trying to fight fires. And you're saying, yeah, conserve water, we might need it.
But make no mistake, Los Angeles will rebuild stronger than ever. Right now, if you need help.
Okay, this is good. This is important. Now she's telling people, if you need help, if you're in trouble, if you're in an emergency situation, there is a website for you to get help from. Let's get to that.
Emergency information, resources, and shelter is available.
Good.
All of this can be found at URL.
URL what? At what URL?
www.url.com. I believe that's on the World Wide Web.
Resources and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles together.
No,
is
it can't. No, I don't think if you go online and type in URL, you're going to get anything.
We will get through this. Through the heroism of our firefighters,
heroicism,
the vigilance of Angelenos, and the spirit of our city. This is a big moment.
Okay, maybe they need a big mayor. Maybe they need someone who is up to the job, which is Rick Caruso, who just barely lost to her, even though Los Angeles is a longtime Democrat bastion, and Caruso is a civic leader and a very successful, wealthy businessman. He, again, just fell short, barely, to her, and this is just fascinating. Listen to, you're going to hear the anchor introduce this exchange with Rick Caruso, and then you're going to hear this biased anchor make a dumb comment that gets instantly refuted by one of his reporters in the field. This is just a wonderful thing to behold. Here, have a listen.
Former L.A. mayoral candidate and real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
Now watch what happens.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciet. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now. This house is going to be a total loss. They have no water to put on this fire. They are standing by because they're trying to save the home that is next to it.
Wow. Here's the biased news anchor. We have heard from no firefighters. Of course, you're sitting at a news desk. How can you hear anything?
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
And then within 15 seconds, the reporter who's actually on the scene talking to firefighters who are there on the scene trying to put out fires say they have no water.
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water.
That's just delicious. That's just wonderful. All right. Well, we're talking about unforgettable sound bites. Do you remember Nancy Pelosi when Joe Biden finally acceded to pressure from party insiders to get out of the race, even though he had the delegates necessary to secure the nomination? Nancy Pelosi and others, quote, urging him to get out of the race. Well, he finally agrees to do so. And at that point, Nancy Pelosi said, well, that's why this man is a hero. This man's presidency is historic. This man belongs on Mount Rushmore.
Such a consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States.
Are
want
you
to
really
know what
saying
comes next?
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden.
Okay. That
I'd like to propose a compromise, John. What about the rump end of Crazy Horse?
Well, that's a few miles away.
Yeah.
We'll
meet in the middle.
Particular. Anyway, that was Nancy Pelosi's 60 Minutes. The good people at the Gallup poll, who've been asking Americans how they think presidents will be remembered, just came out with a poll of the last 10 presidents, how you rate their administration. And voters were not very kind. By a 54 to 19% majority, Americans believe that Joe Biden's presidency will be seen as below average or poor. 54% think it'll be seen as poor or below average. 19% believed it will be seen as outstanding or above average. That ranks Joe Biden ninth among the 10 presidents. John F. Kennedy's in first, Ronald Reagan in second. On the other end of the scale, Richard Nixon in last place, again, still identified with the Watergate scandal that drove him from office. And Joe Biden is right next to him. So apparently they're going to have to hold any plans on putting Joe Biden on Mount Rushmore. You're probably thinking, well, what about Donald Trump? What's interesting about Donald Trump is that 4 years ago, remember when Trump left, you had the controversy over January 20th. You had yet another impeachment. You had COVID deaths were spiking at an all-time high. The vaccine had just been introduced. And Trump's ratings were kind of like Biden's. But Americans have now reassessed. While 54% of people think that Joe Biden has had a below average or poor presidency, only 44% believe that Donald Trump's term, first term, was below average or poor, while only 19% of Americans think that Joe Biden's term was above average or outstanding. 19%, 40% think that Donald Trump's first term was above average or outstanding. So what that adds up to is 40% see Donald Trump as above average, 44% say he's below average. So his first term has a net negative there of 4 points. Joe Biden, with a 54% believing that he's below average versus 19% who think he's above average, has a 35% negative rating. So Donald Trump has a minus 4. Joe Biden has minus 35. I guess that Donald Trump's administration, his term in office, is seen in a very different light once Americans got to see what the alternative to Donald Trump looked like in office for 4 years, i.e. Joe Biden's single term. All right, it's 49 minutes after 8 o'clock. The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Little bit of political soothsaying by?
Bad Religion.
There you have it, folks. Exclusive on the John Carlson Show. All right, Bad Religion, a song about Los Angeles burning. Again, a reminder, because we're getting a lot of response to this, and it's going to sell out, and it might sell out quick. So if you're even thinking of going, I would go ahead and get your tickets to the KVI Inauguration Watch Party. That is going to be on January 20th, of course. Doors open at 7 a.m. The president will take the oath of office at 9 a.m. and then, of course, speak. We'll all be there watching it on the big screen in South King County, Stimpy's Bar and Grill. So obviously, it's a casual dress code. Tickets, $35, but it includes an all-you-can-eat luncheon buffet, or excuse me, breakfast buffet, all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet, coffee, other beverages as well. We're going to be broadcasting from there, so it'll be great to see you there. It is 8:55. Some comments from KVI listeners looking ahead. They say, these folks in L.A. are so screwed when they try and rebuild. Try getting a permit in Southern California. No gas appliances, sky-high insurance, etc. Richard, good point. Bob from Portland, in addition to the permit, any reconstruction will have to meet current code requirements, further driving up the costs. Yeah, that's going to be the second thing. That's the second shoe to drop on these poor people, suddenly poor people in Southern California. Let's talk again in about 21 short hours, shall we? Have a great one. Great day ahead.